of the presentation is called spiritual warfare. What is it? Now, many people don't believe in spiritual warfare. Many people don't think it exists. Just like many people don't believe in Satan. Some people think Satan is this guy running around in this red suit with a tail, horns, and a pitchfork. That's not Satan. So hopefully by the time we finish tonight, you have a little bit better idea to who Satan is, what spiritual warfare is, and then we're going to talk about how we can combat it, because we can do so, because God has actually commanded us to do that. But let's go to first page, and I hope you have your Bibles, because we're going to be doing a lot of scripture tonight. So spiritual warfare. First of all, it's a conflict and a war between God and Satan, all right? God is at war. Satan is at war with God of two opposing wills. Now, the battle between God and his followers is against Satan and his angels. Now, God is good and seeks to do good. Satan is evil. And his whole mantra is to do evil. God and Satan, wills, desires, and action are always in a continuous state of conflict or warfare. Always been the case. Happened as soon as Satan decided that he wanted to be God. But we're going to talk about that a little bit. But we're going to talk about who Satan is, what spiritual warfare is. Okay, let's get started. There's an invisible, unseen world, just as real as the real world. Like I said, if you could actually see what was going on in this visible world, you wouldn't believe it. So let's find out some, let's talk some scripture so you know exactly what we're talking about. So if anyone ever talks to you about spiritual warfare and Satan, you will be armed with the information you need to let them know what the Bible says about it. So let's go to 2 Kings 6, 15 and 18. 2 Kings 6, 15 and 18. It's a good thing I got the cast off today. I can now use my thumb. 2 Kings 6, 15 through 18. It reads as follows. Okay, 15, 18. Okay, Zah. Now when the attendant of the man of God has risen early and gone out, behold, an army of horses and chariots were circling the city, and a servant said to him, "Alas, O master, what shall we do?" And he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those are with them." Then Elijah prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. When they came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people with blindness, I pray." So he struck them with blindness, according to the sword of Elisha. There was going to be a battle, and the people were afraid that they didn't have enough people to win the battle. But God was there with and his angels. And realize this, we all have an angel protecting those, protecting us. God's angels protects his believers. So there are angels looking out for us when we get specific situation. I know one time I was in my car leaving home. I forgot where I was going. And I was coming to the light, and this car was coming right at me to hit me head on. And I still don't know this day how that didn't happen. I think it had to be God in his name. But there's no way in the world this should happen. I mean, Looking at what was happening, just like that, it seemed like it wasn't there. But that's because God was looking out for me. And he looks out for us too. He looks for each one of you. Now let's go to Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12 reads, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Okay. So this is the unseen world that we're talking about. Just like the angel was there in time of battle. Just like we are against principalities and powers. It's unseen. But that doesn't mean it's not there. Take the wind, for example. We can't see the wind. We can feel it. We can walk through it. And sometimes the wind can be a hammer to knock down buildings. But it's there. It's invisible. That's what we're talking about, this invisible world. We can't see things. But just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Doesn't mean it's not happening. Now, so we are involved in a visible war. Satan's strategy affects us every day. Go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 15. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Sorry about that. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 is as follows. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war with the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of God. These are the kind of things that we can do to ward off spiritual warfare. One thing we're going to talk about, we probably won't get to tonight, but the things that you can do in your battle with Satan. Now, Satan is after you each and every day. 24/7. And Satan is good at what he does. And everyone said, well, how do I know Satan is after me? How do you know Satan is after you? It depends upon, just think about things. I mean, sometimes, happened to me, I am praying to the creator of the universe, to the sovereign, self-existing Lord. And all of a sudden, this weird thought would come in my mind. That's Satan. That's Satan. And sometimes there's some things that you're doing. You know you're supposed to do it, but you don't do it. And the thing you're not supposed to do, you do. That's Satan doing those things. But Satan is subtle. If you aren't careful, you don't realize that he is leading you down the wrong path. So you have to be very careful about that. And the way I don't want to get ahead of myself. But there are ways we can combat Satan. Now go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Is in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, say blinded the mind, say the God of this world. So Satan is the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. Satan rules this world. I realize this though. Satan can't do anything unless God allows him to do it, okay? But Satan is already defeated. He's lost the battle. We'll talk about it later on. Now, our foe is found. Our foe, I know. There it is. Thank you. Our foe is a formidable foe. Satan's goal is to destroy God's people and discredit the cause of Christ. Go to 1 Peter 5:8. Like I said, we'll be doing a lot of scripture tonight. But hopefully, this will let you realize that Satan is real. 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, see, Satan already has unbelievers. He didn't have to seek them at all. They already belong to him, but we don't. So he's trying to get us. He's trying to destroy our walk. Now, the other one is Jude 9. Jude 9 reads, but Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounced against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, that just shows you how powerful Satan is. Michael is the archangel, one of God's most powerful angels. But yet Satan and he are in a battle. And Michael was careful what he said about Satan. But we're going to find a little bit more about Satan in a moment. As I said, Satan is real. Many people don't believe he's real. But those people who don't believe he's real also don't believe that there's a hell. And unfortunately, when those who don't believe die, they're going to realize that, okay, there is a hell. But guess what? You're right. It's too late. It's too late then. Because once you die, you cannot change your status. But we all going to live forever. It's just where you're going to live, smoking or non-smoking. Now, so Satan is real. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 21:1. First Chronicles 21:1 is as follows. Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Now, we just finished reading, we had Bible study, I think it was Kings, and David numbered Israel when he was not supposed to do it. And because of that, 70,000 people lost their lives because David, remember, sin has consequences. The consequences of David doing that sin, the people lost their lives. But what it says, the key is, see what it says? It says, and Satan moved David to number Israel. Okay, so that Satan can do, Satan can do things to our mind. And that's one of the basic things he does. I mean, if you go back to Genesis, he messed Eve's mind up. He deceived her. And because of that, Jesus headed down the cross for our sins. Okay. Now, let's go to Revelation 12:9. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, I don't want to get in too much different things, but this happens at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Satan gets kicked out of heaven. So right now, Satan is walking the halls of heaven, asking God what he can do to us. If you remember the book, you remember Job. Satan walked the halls of heaven and wanted to know who he could do to Job. And God said, okay, Satan, you can do A, B, C, D, and E, but you can't kill him. Now, that's what Satan is doing. That Satan is walking the halls of heaven asking God what he can do to us. Sometimes God says, no, you can't touch him or her. Sometimes he says, go ahead. We just don't know when. But the whole point is, Satan is real. And Luke 11:15. Luke 11:15. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on when we get to where he come from and who he is. But okay, who is Satan? Let's get to that. Here we are. Who is Satan? Anybody have an idea who Satan is? Yeah, that's one. Satan is a creator. Somebody say something? Oh. Right. But now, Satan was a created being. God created Satan. Let's go to Ezekiel 28, 12 and 13. Ezekiel 28, 12 and 13. Read as follows. Listen to this. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus the Lord says, you had the seat of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of Lord God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your setting and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. Now, Satan was created as the highest angel in heaven. The most beautiful angel in heaven was Satan. Now, let's go to Matthew 25, 41. Matthew 25, 41 is as follows. Matthew 25, 41 states, then he who also said to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for Satan and his angels. Also, that means he was a perfect spirit, he's an angel, and he's a cherub. Which reason? That goes back to Ezekiel 28:14, says that you were the appointed cherub who covers, and I place you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. I mean, Satan had a great prominent position in heaven. But that wasn't good enough for him. And we're going to talk about that too later on, what he did. Next one, we talk about what he did. Say, where did he come from? At Heavenly State, Jude 6. Jude 6. And the angels who did not keep their own domain had abandoned their proper abode. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Now, what he's talking about here is that when Satan decided that he wanted to be like God, he got with him a third of all the angels in heaven followed Satan. Okay, so 2/3 of the angels followed God, a third followed Satan, and there are some angels who came down here and in the earth and cohabitated with humans. Those angels are tied up and locked up right now. Okay, locked up right now because of what they did. Because they are, as the word says, they abandoned their proper abode. So that's what God, they got immediate punishment. Now, here we go. What was his sin? Pride. Let's go to Isaiah 14, 13. Isaiah 14:13. Fingers don't want to work. Here we go, Isaiah 14:13. But you said in his heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. And next one, about saying this, 1 Timothy 3:6. 1 Timothy 3:6 is as follows. And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. So the devil's sin was pride. He wanted to be like God. And guess what? There's only one God. God was not having it. So Satan, you have got, God said, Satan, you have got to go. So Satan lost his place of prominence in heaven. But he still has access to God. Now, so we must respect Satan, but not fear him. We must find out what his methods are. We must figure out what he's trying to do. The key is, though, do not become preoccupied with Satan. Now, that's what some people do. Some people go overboard and get preoccupied with Satan. That's where we get all these other cults and activities and Satan worship and these other things that people just enamor with Satan. But God limits what he can do. Satan can do nothing without God allowing it. God knows everything that happens. Everything that happens in the world, God either allows it or God causes it. But Satan can do nothing without God. And remember this. Everything that happens to us has to be filtered through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has allowed it to happen to us in order for it to happen. And sometimes he allows it. We don't know why. Sometimes it's something to test our faith. I mean, if you go look at the book of Job, Job never found out why God allowed that to happen to him. But it was a test for Job. Because they say, you know, you got to, Job has all these riches and finances and all these good things, and he worships you because he has all these things. God said, okay, try him out, see what happens. God may do that to us. The question is, how are we going to respond? Now, let's talk about some of the names of Satan, because his name reveals his tactics, okay? Now, Satan is called the adversary. We've been talking about Job. Let's go to Job. Job 1:6-7 is as follows. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about the earth and walking around on it." So we know that that's Satan's domain. Satan is walking around the earth, walking around us, trying to get us to do those things that God would not have us do. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2:18. For we want to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, but yet Satan hindered us. Okay? So, once again, we see the power that Satan has. But the power that Satan has is only what God allows him to have. So Satan kept Paul from going where he wanted to go. Sometimes Satan does that to us. He's also the slanderer. 1 Peter 5:8. First Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. All right? Now he also called Lucifer, son of the morning, Isaiah 14:12. I'm sure many of you have probably heard these names that I mentioned before, so they're not strange to you. But I'm trying to put in context so we have an idea as to who Satan is, what he's about, what he's trying to do. And next week we can talk about the things that you can do to keep him from doing the things he wants to do to you. Because there are things that we can do. I mean, we are not helpless. Although some people think they are. Some people just let Satan have his way. But God gives us the power and he gives us command as to what to do to keep Satan away from us. Isaiah 14:12 is as follows. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You have been weakened. You who have weakened the nations. He's talking about Satan. These are the things that Satan can do. He's also called the evil one. Look at 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God. That the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So Satan has the whole world in his power. And here's one we need to look at. I think we can make it. He attacks the church. I'm sure y'all know that Satan attacks the church. Every chance he gets. When the church doors are open on Sunday morning, who's the first one in the church? Satan. Sitting here just waiting to cause havoc. And he really shows up at business meetings. Okay. He attacks the church for you, the false philosophers. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deceptions, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the word, rather than according to Christ. So say, don't listen to anyone who is not speaking the words of Christ. But how do you know someone is not speaking the words of Christ? What's that? Right. That's the test of spirits, right. That which means that we need to be able to combat Satan with scripture, which is what Christ did in the wilderness. And we're going to talk about that a little later on, the sword of the spirit. That's one thing Satan can't handle, is God's word. Okay. Now, false religions. We know about those. 1 Corinthians 10:20. 1 Corinthians 10:20 also is as follows. 1 Corinthians 10:20 states, "No, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons." False ministers. You know, know about false ministers? There are many false ministers. Those people who are in the pulpit and not preaching God's word are false ministers. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Wait a minute. I started wrong. Let's go back to 14. No wonder, for even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. And also false disciples, Matthew 13:24-30. Matthew 13:24-30. Jesus presents another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came to him and said, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How does this have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, for while you were gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to go together until the harvest. At the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now, the wheat and the tares will be separated at the end of tribulation, just before the millennium. I think we had talked about that maybe some months ago when I talked about Revelation. but that's what's going to happen. Those are false disciples. Now, almost it's time for us to get out here. But I, this may seem a little mundane, but what I'm trying to do is build a foundation so that when we get to next week, you have a foundation on which to build, because next week we can talk about spiritual warfare and how we, as children of God, how we as servants of God, how we as Christians can combat Satan. So you have to have a foundation with which to start. So I've built the foundation. Next week we'll continue on the foundation and give you the tools that you need in order to fight Satan. That's my intention here. Because Satan is an adversary. He does everything he can to destroy the children of God. He does everything he can to destroy your walk with Christ, so that you end up not being the Christian God would have you to be. So when people see you, they don't see Christ. That's Satan's whole deal. But we can't let that happen. Okay. Any questions? Wait, finish the next. When you get a chance, go back and finish reading about how Satan attacks God's people. Remember, Satan defeated foe. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil on the cross. We're victors in Christ. We have the power and source to resist Satan. We must wear the full armor of God. That's what we'll talk about next week, full armor of God, how we appropriate that. And then hopefully you have a baseline for defeating Satan. Because Satan every day is after each and every one of us. And unfortunately, he's good at his job. But guess what? He's doomed. Okay? And like I said, any questions? Well, thank you very much. Like I said, hopefully we're not too mundane for you, but you have to build a foundation. Just like you build a house. Can't build a house unless you build a foundation. If you build on sand, the winds can blow it away. So we're building a foundation on a rock. Thank you very much.